If you knew you were starting a business that would generate you $1 million per year, how much would you be willing to invest today?
Travis Ferris is a real estate entrepreneur, sales coach, team leader, public speaker, and community builder. He's done the work with over $500 million in total sales. Now he's welcoming you to the table. But make sure you're ready. The coffee is for closers only.
The mindset's the one thing that's going to keep you going.
Coffee for Closers is powered by Collab Agents. Here's your host, Travis Ferris.
Welcome, listeners, to the Coffee for Closers podcast, where obviously we're bringing in titans in different niches and industries in all sorts of business. I actually have a pretty good friend of ours that we've been kind of aligned with for over a decade. Himself, mm-hmm. we kind of got started just before he did in real estate when he got into the real estate investing and flipping game, and friends with his beautiful wife, Rachel, as well, which is probably part of why he's crushing things. So I got my dear friend Indar Lang, Hawaii's biggest flipper, right? Like 100%. Yes. Like I know that there's other, everyone who's talking about stuff and people on TV, but there's people actually doing it and at a high level. And we've talked about it. So, without further ado, thank you very much, Mr. Indar Lang, for popping on.
Yeah. Super excited to be on here. Yeah. We've been flipping now since 2013. We first started and did one and first year, two, the second year and so forth. It's been a fun journey. And I've known Travis. Well, my wife's known Travis for a long time and his wife, from cheerleading days, right? What, HPU and yeah. Before, you probably knew my wife before.
Yeah. Cheerleading, HPU, 24 hour fitness training days, back in the dungeon.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. We'll dive right in. We want to hear about your story. We want to hear some of the and we'll kind of end with some of the pain points, the suffering, the mindsets. Because I think I got into real estate and it was very much the same thing. Like everyone's like, hey, there's 10,000 agents. What's going to set you apart? And I know you had to kind of fight through a lot of those naysayers. But let's just start. I love starting with the meat on these. Like, what was your biggest flip profit wise? Like multi-million-dollar or a multi-unit, like let's dive into where like, hey, I saw this opportunity, I did X, Y, Z, this is what happened, and cha-ching, that one just cashed out. And then we're gonna kind of dive back around on some of the tactics.
Well, I mean, you kind of get bigger and bigger, obviously. Now we're doing multifamily or doing big commercial deals and bigger stuff, so they get bigger and bigger. But it was leading me to think this early on, maybe 5 years ago, 4 years ago, I was doing flips and I was making like $100,000 on a flip or something like mm-hmm. that. And I had a successful year. And I remember thinking to myself, man, I just like unlocked the gold mine to life. Like I can literally go bankrupt tomorrow and figure this all out and do it all over again. Like I figured out that real estate was just... It opened my eyes up that this is the secret to life. Like I can literally start this whole business all over again, wholesale a couple of deals, do a flip, find another flip, and I could literally start from scratch all over again. It just felt like this big eye-opening experience in my life when I first started. And I didn't really get to touch on my story when I first started, but I knew nothing about real estate in general and the business. And I didn't come from real estate and come from a big successful family. I learned as I go, and I think that's where we're at today. We're learning as we go, and now we're looking to do some big time flips that we can make a lot of money. I don't want to brag about what I make, but some of the deals you can make a lot of money. And so forth. And even the bigger syndicate deals that we do are really just bigger flips as well.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, start small and then just kind of growing it from there. But I you touched on a point too, because I got started and I didn't have a family or anyone that hooked us up or plugged us in either, which might be a good thing, because I think that you're doing a lot of like, newer, I don't know if it's actually newer, it might just be trendier as far as like outside of the box financing, hard money lenders, mm-hmm. seller financing structure, mm-hmm. subject to type deals, to where like, do you think it was mm-hmm. beneficial, the fact that like you really started from nothing with no one kind of giving you to like essentially give you bad habits?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no, I did. So 2013, our story was 2013, we started. I didn't know where to start. So I went in, just bought a single family house. This is where I tell everyone to start. Like, if you don't know where to start, just spend a Saturday at your local credit union, small bank, and see what the banker will give you. And they wouldn't even give me nothing at the time. They just told me, okay, we need to have this much W-2 income. You need to put together your taxes for this much for next year. Like, it was just more of a planning of the next few months of my life. That was the best Saturday I ever spent. And at the time, they qualified us for like a $240,000 little condo in Date Street. It was like 500 square feet. But the point was, they planned it out for me. They put it together. We went and bought it. It was, at the time, it was 1% down. Like, I had to come up with $5,000, which is hard at the time. Like, you know, don't get me wrong. But it was the coolest feeling ever, going through that process of buying a house. And I take it for granted nowadays of the process of buying a house, because we have, I don't know, 14 escrows open and refinances. But it's like its own little world. All the lingo and the terms of J1 inspections and you know, timelines and all the little nuances. Like, I didn't know that process. It was like it's its own little language, I feel like, sometimes, you know. And we're so loose about it right now that we talk about escrow and title, and you know, we use so much acronyms too, you know, PSAs and SDR, you know, whatever, we use so many acronyms. But I was learning it all, and that was like my big learning experience. Bought my own little house. Rachel was my girlfriend at the time. She helped me with the mortgage. We painted it, we fixed it ourselves, and we did a lot of DIY. Like, you know, I'm pretty handy. And then we sold it after 2 years, and that was my game changer. We sold it, made $100,000 just by living in it, just by owning a property. I'm like, man, I just made $100,000. And instead of taking that $100,000 and buying another property, we invested and we bought our first flip. We were one of the investors on our first flip. Wholesaled a deal as well to make a little bit of money. And we wholesaled and did our first flip in Kaneohe. We bought it for $700,000, sold at $1 million. And man, I didn't know what I was doing. I was scared shitless. I mean, that was a lot of money to me to buy a $700,000 property. This is 2013. And hard money was just coming about at the time. It was hard to get. Hard money was like 14% and 2 points. And you had to have other people with you. And so I was learning, just processing how to work with hard money, how to do a flip. Yeah, and fast forward, we've 2 more next year, 3, 4 the next year, 4, 5. I think we're up to 130 fix and flips. We've done about 140 million. We're just hitting in buy and sells, I should say. And then we're up to 170 rental units, but we're selling off a big chunk right now. We're selling off 100. So I'm all about buying rentals now, and we own a shopping center, and we wholesaled for years and do all kinds of creative financing on deals. Just bought a huge package with a big creative financing structure to it all.
Boom.
It's always figure out how to make a deal work.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you touched on a couple things that I just wanted to highlight, because when you first went to that bank, right, they basically said, no, I'm sorry, but we'll help mm-hmm. you plan. So like, mm-hmm. and you're like, that was the yeah. best Saturday. So as far as listeners today, like, quote unquote, I mean, me and you, like, that was a failure-ish type thing where you go and you're like, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. It wasn't what you hoped, but it was what you needed. And I think yeah. that's what a lot of people, and I love talking about just the little pain points, like, ooh, yeah, like, or God's pokes, I always call it. but you learned from it. And it was like one of the best things, to where like producers are who you are when the wind's taken out of your sails. And people need to know, when those moments, a lot of times when you go there, the wind kind of gets taken out of your sails, and then you're like, you have a choice. Well, what do I do? And then you planned, you prepared, you got set up. And then that was the game changer. Like, the game changer is making the decision of, you know, the right path or the wrong path when your wind is taken out of sail. And that set the trajectory. So once you got the home, and you said, so the first major flip, so you bought that house, you sold it 2 years later, you did a wholesale separately, or that Kaneohe deal was the,
okay. No. I at the same time, I got a little piece of land under contract off of Craigslist, okay. $25,000, and we put it back on Craigslist for $35,000 with nicer pictures and better descriptions, and literally wholesaled it. So it kind of helped us get some money back.
So just because, again, going on that. So with a wholesale deal like that, you basically go and you say, hey, I'm going to help you sell this. So do you actually acquire and resell it?
No. You get a purchase and sale agreement. We use a simple one, that not a big MLS one. It's a little more easier, first of all, easier to explain than the... What are up to 15 pages now of a Hawaii MLS contract. So we use a short 3-pager just to put on the contract, put $100 into escrow. People, believe it or not, you can buy houses with just escrow. And we put it under contract, and then we assign that contract. So we have another addendum. It's assignment contract that we're going to sell this rights to this contract to somebody else, and we sell the contract to somebody else for $10,000 or something.
Where did you find that investor on that particular deal? I'm just super curious.
Found a deal on Craigslist and found a new buyer back on Craigslist. So both.
Okay.
Yeah. And this was back in the day. Craigslist was a little more less scammy,
totally. I would say.
less weirdos. It was a little more
right. Practice. But I guess it's just, I want people to like to hear and be able to fathom like the creation of money, the creation of wealth, where it is, you know what I mean? It's all about outside the box, like finding deals, putting deals together essentially. So we want to dive into some of the tactics here in a second, but you know, when you got started, cause I remember we talked about it and there was a former flipper who I think no longer really flips. And I mean, there's a lot of flippers actually in Hawaii.
Yeah, there are a lot of people come and go. Yeah, there's a lot of people that come and go.
But staying power is what's really important. So like, what was going through your head like when you got in? What were people saying, like the naysayers? Like, what did you hear? And like, where were you at mentally? And what did you do to like push through that to be like, no, dude, I'm going to build this empire?
Yes, you kind of touched something earlier. It was kept sticking in my mind early on when the bank said no, or even now today, whenever somebody says no just means I got to find another way, and no just means that person can't do it, but I can go to talk to another person that possibly can do it. And I'm actually dealing with that today. I'm trying to do this huge refinance of a shopping center for $6 million. And one guy says no, so that just means I got to get on the phone to call somebody else. And that's what it means. And then, yeah, early on when I first started, people said you can't scale Hawaii. You can't do a lot in Hawaii. You can't do this in scale because the prices are too big. You know, we buy million-dollar houses all day long, and how are you going to scale that? And to me, it was an opportunity where others weren't doing, and that's the way I seen it. I was like, okay, so no one is doing it. That means there's opportunity there. And so I think I just find points of opportunity when others are not. And I always looking for those opportunities. There's huge points I remember now in my career, just thinking about it. COVID hit, and I remember whatever COVID was, February hit, and all the lenders shut down. You know, everyone was shutting down. And I was getting a ton of contracts for people to sell houses. I think people were scared or whatever. And no lender would lend to people. They're all shutting down. They only lend to you unless they're called a class A investor. You had to have done over $100 million, blah, blah, blah. So I was a class A investor. And I remember thinking, man, that means no one else can get deals and I'm the only one buying deals. Man, I bought a ton of stuff at the beginning of COVID and I made a killing after selling them. I mean, because I was the only guy with properties for sale. I was the only guy with these brand new flips. And that was just a great thing of opportunity when no one else is doing it or when no one else is. So I'm always trying to find that opportunity sometimes.
Absolutely. What is it? Scared money or God, I can't remember who said it. Like
scared money don't make money.
And money. It is. It's I know for me, I look back at every home I've ever owned, I'm like, God, if I would have just bought five more of those when I bought that, if I just didn't sell it, like it's crazy. But yeah, I think, hold on. We're going to reprogram you guys who are listening to where like the only people that you're, when someone says no, that you're not supposed to go ask another person is your parents. That's it. When mom or dad says no, I think that's it. But
my dad said no, actually, on my second flip ever. He was like, no, don't do this deal. and I didn't.
That's hilarious. But yeah, no, it's so true. When somebody says no in life, when you get to life and adulting, it's like when someone says no, there's usually a high chance that someone out there can. You've just got to, you know, go find it. So,
yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Like, give us a real quick run through before we start diving into tactics and some of these flips. Like, where were you born and raised? What was your story growing up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Born and raised on beautiful Big Island of Hawaii in Pohoa, actually in the jungle on a water catchment on a pot farm. And I love growing up on the Big Island. Great, great place to grow up. Grew up very local, hunting, fishing, diving. I lost my pigeon. I don't have much pigeon anymore because I choose to. I forced myself to lose it almost because I went to college and I went to get an engineering degree, got a business degree, worked for my dad's construction company for 10 years, trying to grow his construction business, which is still, I might take that over eventually. And yeah, I got into flipping, did some engineering after my engineering degree and got a contractor's license. But I got into flipping in 2013. I feel like that's been my life ever since. And flipping is a job and flipping takes work. And now more into buying rentals, into passive income. How can we grow and do things together? And looking always at big tax strategies like cost segregation, big burrs. We do a lot of big burring of stuff. And I love everything about real estate, every avenue of real estate, from making money as being an agent, growing a team, to flipping, to wholesaling, to rentals and the burr. And we're just opening a co-working office right now. We have a 6,000 square foot co-working office. We're opening up. We're creating our own community of like-minded people. And just at that point in life where I think there's enough for everyone to succeed, there's enough for abundance in life. And I really like talking about it and giving back and taking the time. It's hard to take
for
the time.
Sure. How do I get in on that co-working space, bro?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Anytime you come back here, yeah. Hey, we're just finished the build out. I'm literally just going to start marketing now. And it's fun. I actually have a vivid vision, a great book I read where I want to teach kids on how to be financial literacy, like how to read a profit and loss statement, how to start a company, how to be an entrepreneur, you know, the things they don't teach in school. And I want to start doing classes there at our co-working space because we have this great space now. I want to take advantage of that and start doing that.
Awesome. Yeah. Actually, one of our former podcasts with the flipper, he does like condo to college for his kids, kind of similar thinking as far as teaching kids to actually know what's going on. So real quick, let's dive into kind of some of these projects. Cause I think, you know, tactics, like what's the difference between, you know, burrs, flips, rentals, like buy and holds, like what are the difference? What are the different strategies or tactics behind it? And then also, you know, I think one of the things that I love debunking TV stuff in terms of like, hey, like, you know, I'm a kindergarten teacher and, you know, the husband like makes crayons for a living, but they have a $2.8 million budget. I love debunking kind of that stuff. So it's, you know, I think one of the things to debunk is, you know, because you've done some high end, like luxury flips, like,
yeah.
And
yeah,
so
yeah.
I think everyone thinks bigger is better. Like, hey, I did a $5 million flip, but I guess where would the sweet spot be? Like, is bigger necessarily not better as far as the margins and, you know, margin for error and things like that?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, bigger is obviously, what does it say? I forget the same, but bigger is bigger risk, but the rewards can be very costly. So I don't recommend bigger. I don't choose to do bigger. I don't like to as well. I've done some Kahala ones and so forth, and they're not always great. You know, sometimes it's a lot of work for just a little reward. When you sell a $4 million house, sometimes you don't just drop the price by 5 or 10 grand. You're dropping prices by 100 grand sometimes just to get it to sell. So if the market shifts on you, you know, it's a big risk. I do the bigger stuff for social media sometimes, you know, that's what I show. But my bread and butter is the small, easy, in and out stuff. Why and I, simple, quick ones. You know, that's my favorite kind of stuff. Where the rehabs are not as intense. You don't have to do under cabinet lighting and specialty this and that. Like, I'd rather just keep it simple and be in and out and sell quicker too. You know, the hold times on some of these big ones can really eat you up alive if they don't sell, because our hard money and our cost to carry is pretty intense on some of these deals.
For sure. And that's what we've actually kind of realized in some of our former episodes, is the time that, you know, there's a, usually you have like different rates based on how long you borrow it. And if you go past certain things, different rates kind of kick into where, time, you get speed makes money in these deals. But walk us through some of your, like the strategies, like, you know, if you're looking for flips, like, hey, you know, get used to going to the foreclosure websites or going to the courthouse. Like what are like some, I guess, the strategies that you have behind flips, BRRRRs, buy and hold type thing?
Well, first of all, you got to find a deal. That's a lot of gurus don't talk about. That's the hardest part, is you're just mentioning it, finding a good deal. We have to buy them with such a steep, steep discount that it has to work for us. I'm not in the business of losing money, so it has to pencil out. And a lot of people don't take into account, there's a lot of cost involved besides just the, like sometimes an agent will say, oh, you're buying it, you know, $200,000 below the value. I'm like, well, I got to put in, you know, $100,000 or $200,000 to rehab it. Then I got to pay all the agents' commissions, both sides. Well, that's changing. and then, of course, I got to pay my financing and the holding costs and all that. So a lot of times, a lot of brand new people don't factor in some of the other huge, huge costs involved. And often it's the selling commission cost and the financing of it all. I don't just have $1 million. I get free and clear, like without any strings attached. So that's huge. So yeah, generally we try and find something with a deep enough discount. Our best way to find deals nowadays is just agents. Is just working with multiple agents. As you said, there's 10,000. There's actually 16,000 in our state. I have the whole list of the whole state. Yep. I cold call and work with agents. And then the agents will make the commissions on the buy and the sell, on the purchase, and then give us 3 months, and then they'll make commissions on the back end. So our best source often is just working with agents. You know, the agent will have a team and they're going to do a lot of cold calling, prospecting, and they're going to find some of the leads compared to us doing that. You know, it can get costly. We were doing $30,000 a month last year trying to wholesale and find deals. And I backed that all down when the market shifted. And I was like, I'm going to cut all this, go back to basics, work with agents. Online auctions are great. Little risky there. Courtroom steps can find some deals. You got to be ready for cash on those kind of stuff. All the different sources online, you're from Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, to just posting stuff out there, you know, Facebook groups. Hawaii is not too big, but if you're in the mainland, anyone listening, get in a Facebook group right away. And if you're in Wichita, Kansas, go into Kansas Facebook groups and let people know there's a ton of wholesalers and a ton of places you can find deals out there. And then start analyzing them and make sure they work. You know, don't analyze in your head. I say get an Excel deal analyzer. You're analyzing all the numbers and make sure that deal pencils. And then the next hard part is finding the money and finding investors to work with you. And I always say if a deal's a smoking hot deal, you'll find the money. If the deal's like, it's kind of a tight deal, people won't invest with you. So if the deal is good enough, you'll find the money. And worst case, go find an expert in your market and just JV partner with them. 50-50 it. Making zero, making 50 grand is a lot better than making zero, you know. So I had a mentor of mine told me that one time. He's like, you can either make 60 grand on this flip that somebody's going to do it, either you or somebody else, or make nothing. And, you know, that always taught me, like, okay, somebody's going to figure this out. If I pay you, you know, 50, 100 grand to figure this out, would you figure it out? I'm like, yeah, I probably would. And figure it out. And that's what it is often, is trying to figure out how to make deals work, how to find value in a deal where others may have not seen the value, from enclosing square footage in a garage maybe, or permitting it to grab that square footage. You know, square footages often are value adds in single family world. And so forth, is how do I figure out how to add value to these properties And that's what we do in the flipping world. We force the value, force appreciation by making a new kitchen, new flooring, new roof. That's how we're forcing our values of the property up. In the commercial world, it's a different story. And then ultimately, a flip is a burr. We can kind of lean into that now. A flip is we're selling it to somebody else. A burr is a flip that we end up just buying it ourselves, and it's a good rental property. So even burr process of buying, renovating, rehabbing, renting out, and repeating is a burr process. Is it technically a big flip as well? Mm-hmm. And you're just the end buyer of it all.
For sure. Yeah. What? Buy, renovate, rent, refinance, repeat. Yeah. For people that might not know. The fact that people are trying to get in, and I see like a movement in the last couple of years of people getting into it. It's like, I don't know, if I really was like, because we're jamming in Colorado right now, we're jamming Hawaii still, and we're actually looking at another mm-hmm. hop spot, either like Florida, Arizona, where there might be some opportunity. If I was like, I want to mm-hmm. go get into flipping in Hawaii, I think so many people, because you're making money and you're in the business of making money, but it's like, I would not personally expect to say, I'm going to do a flip for the first one to learn and make money. I'm going to say, hey, Indar, I'm going to come help you for free for probably, you know, 1 to 3 deals so I can see it, learn it. Then we'll syndicate and partner up and JV on. But it's like, just know that there's a cost of barrier of entry. There's a cost of learning and education, you know, to get to, I mean, how many flips have you done total?
130
flips. I mean, and you're talking probably a minimum of, you know, 10K to 100K minimum on these flips. And I mean, you're talking a great movement of money, you know. So once you do 5 flips and make a couple grand, if you're lucky, then you can start. But it's like, go help, go partner and do stuff for free and get this entitled mentality. Because here's the thing, I don't know, I'm going to dive into this. Like, and I don't know if it's sales, real estate. I think there's a lot of entitled people out there, Indar. I don't know your thoughts on that.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. I get a lot of, oh, I'll buy you coffee or I'll buy you lunch, like, and I'll pick your brain for an hour. I'm like, what do you think? I can't afford a $10 cup of coffee. Like, you think my time's worth $10 to entitle to your time? I mean, people don't see the benefit of the other way around, you know, our time is valuable. Yeah. You know, we are scheduled out through the day, our time.
Especially when you have kids, you know,
yes,
kids, wives, so like, dude, it's, I'm happy if I hear that they want to, or that they'll buy me a cup of coffee. There's some times where they like, just want to like pick the brain. I'm like, are you going to offer me coffee or like, I'm not drinking now, but a drink, I don't know. Jeez.
Lunch.
But my time's at least $20 an hour. Jeez. But absolutely. Well, it's out there. People like just bring value, do things to learn.
We have interns that come into our office now that help us, and I take the time with them because they're helping.
Perfect. Me. And that, let's see, we've ran intern model. We're actually plugged into, there's a college on Copley Parkway out there. And we actually brought interns in and kind of brought them in for a couple months at a time. Well, that's awesome. Are you plugged in like just straight up interns? Are you plugged into any of the universities or anything like that?
No. I need to take more time to, like, I just posted for interns and a bunch of people messaged me, and I need to take more time to get more in. Sometimes I just, and I don't have a big enough team to manage all of them. Interns, you know, take a lot to
manage. Yeah, 100%. You
know, they come and go.
Yeah, 100%. We'll get all your contact stuff at the end if you want to ping for Indar U, Indar University, where people can come in and help you, I guess, essentially. But what projects do you guys have coming down the pipeline? Whether it's flips, syndicates, you know, you said, you know, the co-working space. I know what's coming down the pipeline that you're like, dude, this is coming down. We've been working on this and we're super excited.
We just got in contract with a 25 unit in Kentucky for 2.1 mil. We're going to do a burr strategy on that. We're buying it for 2.1. The rents are really low. 80-year-old person who hasn't raised rent for 5 years. So in the multifamily world, even though you can make a new flooring, new roof, you can make the unit nice, doesn't mean nothing into that world. The value is if you can raise your rents. So in that structure, say you made the unit nice, but you didn't change the rental amount, you know, move it up, then it doesn't add value to the property. So that particular deal, we're raising the rents from like 2,100 almost up to 30,000 a month, 21,000 to 30,000 a month. And that's a big, big value add. Once we do that, then they'll evaluate at 3 million. And then once we have that 3 million valuation, we refinance and take out all our money, investors' money, onto those types of deals. And some of the deals investors will stay in, some of them they won't. Some deals we give off tax credits, tax depreciation to investors. But that's a big deal we're doing. We're refinancing our shopping center we own in Wisconsin. That's been it takes a while to do BRRRR process. It's not an easy. We bought a shopping center at $5.5 million and just appraised at $8 million. And so now we're trying to get that refinance done. But it's hard. It's hard. And yeah, we're buying like two packages of houses. We have a closing today, tomorrow. We normally do just two houses a month. I'm not trying to do too much anymore. I like 20 to 30 flips a year, and my sweet spot is there. And now I'm trying to buy bigger stuff with groups of people and syndicates and do it together. Packages of houses we'll buy. We get this one. We bought in Milwaukee. We were up to 15 houses, 15 doors, I think. And we bought it with a seller finance. The seller financed 25% of the purchase, and I got a bank loan for 80%. So the bank gave me a loan for 80%. The seller financed 25%. I ended up getting money back out of the purchase from the seller. It literally paid me 10 grand extra to buy these houses, and the cash flow, and they're great rentals. They're actually really, really great rentals because I didn't even look at them. I didn't even see them until I just closed. And my property manager, he's like, these are really nice. I'm like, yes.
That's, again, what just people... And that's where I asked you at the very beginning, as far as you getting into like not get bad habits, because I think even I have a hard time, like even in the real estate realm, coming across and looking at this to where you don't think about that. You're like, how could you set up a deal to where you're going to buy homes that cash flow positive and you're like going to get paid? Someone's going to pay me money to buy these positive cash flow assets. Like that's where people really got to start tweaking the mindset. That's awesome. Are you in, that one's in Milwaukee, the multi-unit, is that Louisville or Lexington or anything?
It's in Murray, right? Kind of closer to Tennessee. Okay. It's a big college town kind of place, just relationships. And I preach this every relationships are huge. Like maybe one day me and you will do a deal together. Sometimes that's what it is, it's a friend of mine. She does a lot of deals, but 2 million is kind of out of her realm. She's, you know, smaller, 200,000 kind of deals she does. And she got a hold of this $2.1 million deal. And she's like, man, let's do it together. And we're 50-50 partnering. We both bring value to the deal. And if anyone ever does partnerships out there, I would say always try to, don't be a 50% partner. Try be like the 80 or 90% partner. Like if both of you add more value to the partnership, it just makes partnerships great. Like don't just try to do the bare minimum, I would say. Like it always works better with partnerships that way.
So you're saying if you're 50-50 partners on the deal to try to be 90%? Yeah. Okay, be cool. 90, yeah. 100%, dude. I mean, that's, yes. I think in business, when you knock it out of the park, people are like, dude, here's more money. Take more money, please. You know what I mean? It's all right. Well, cool, man. I love where we're going. I'd love to do a deal with you in Colorado, Hawaii, whatever. And again, like the finance is great, but it's really the learning lesson that I actually, the process, you know what I mean? The process. Cause dude, it's like surfing. I know you've surfed too. I don't know if you remember learning to surf, but I remember learning to surf and like, it takes a while, just going and just embracing the suck for like 2 weeks straight, and then like that click, and like I know that is exactly what happened when you did that first deal, to where it was just like stand up on the board, I'm riding away, it feels good, and I know that had to have been like, and even the same thing with financing 80% on the loan with 25%, to where you're like, dude, I just made money buying this. So cool, man. One thing that we always want to hear, because I think a lot of times we hear the good stuff like, yeah, dude, this is good. This is good. This is good. I think we've all had that moment, like blood, sweat, and tears. Like, you know, in the last 10, 15 years, getting started, business, whatever it is, where was that like one moment that you're like, dude, I was crying in my car. I wanted to give up. I wanted to quit. Like, what was like that hardest moment that you're like, I went through it here, and then like how you popped out the other side?
I almost feel like I get that every year. Like there's a moment in every year as I keep scaling and I'm pushing, and I think because I keep trying to do more and I'm growing and bigger at the growing pains, really, as you start trying to do more deals and more scaling. There's always like this big struggle, like, oh shoot, I should have done that better. Like, for example, we would raise money for a deal just enough to help us purchase the property. I didn't even think about, oh shit, I'm carrying the property and paying a mortgage. And also I didn't have enough raised for a deal. And then I was stretched with all my money trying to carry this. And then you get another deal and then you're super stretched. So now I change on how much I raise per deal. Like I raise a little extra to help carry it. So there's always every year. Last year was a really, really tough year with flipping in general, just the market in general, with anyone in real estate in general. And so pushing through like the tough years like that is also very tough to keep. You got to keep the machine going. So there's always deals. There's always money to be made. You can always find whatever it may be. You just can't give up. And I think that's the biggest growing pains is keeping the machine running, you know, keeping that mindset to keep pushing forward. And I think if I were to stop today, I'd be fine. And, you know, I'd be great and I can live a happy life. But there's that other side of you. You want to keep doing a little more. You want to keep growing, expanding as you learn. You know, now I'm learning more and growing myself and I'm always learning. So I think always the turning points are the scaling, the growth, the building a team, putting people underneath you. You know, flipping I can do, but now building a company, building a team, and that's another thing you got to learn how to do. You know, hire the right people and all that
stuff. Yeah, business for yourself is super easy, like it, and it is because we learned the same stuff. 2023 was freaking rough, man. I mean, and we like we closed out some real estate in the end of the year, but I always tell people I felt like a chicken that just got, you know, defeathered. Like literally I was like, like betrayals were bigger. The stuff hit the fan harder, especially with kids. And that, I mean, that's, I don't know about you, but it's like the kids are like the one thing that just keep you kind of like getting up and going.
Yes.
And
yes, it does. Yeah. It kind of brings you all back to at the end of the day, you had a tough day and I'm stressed with that, but you get home to them and like, they don't care about none of that stuff. No. You know, they just want you to be dad and throw them around, and which is great, you know? So it's great. I think the kids make it worthwhile.
Yeah. 100%. So, well, cool, man. What do you got coming down the pipe? You know, not necessarily the most excited, but what's coming up for you like in the near future? I mean, you got a lot of deals, but.
Well, the co-working space, we need to get that community built. And I'm really, really, really excited to build like a community there. And I want to have an escrow agent. I'm trying to get Pam over there and have a notary there and a marketing there. And like just a fun community where people in business can excel off each other. Like I really, really want to have a nice, fun community where people, like I'm more in that growth with each other kind of mindset now. And I want to enjoy life and have fun people around, you know, I mean, I can sit out and talk with and, hey, what are you working on? And what are you doing great at? Or what are you, you know, what are you struggling with? Can I be, you know, I love those conversations with people.
Totally. When you find the good people.
And then we got an education program too. We just started a small little course to teach people about flipping because I know it's a big demand. Everyone wants to know. And we're always trying to raise capital, of course, because we keep growing and keep doing bigger deals.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, dude, I'd love to chat because I love collab space, bro. I've loved collab space for 10 years.
Yes.
I've had like big corporate offices and I've jammed in. I love like a beautiful table. I love jamming at tables, like at tables, co-work space, the energy, people around.
Yeah,
I used to jam at some of the co-working spaces in Hawaii. I'd love to chat with, I mean, collab and coffee. That's kind of one of the concepts I want.
Yeah. Well, we're actually really nicer than all of them. I spent $700,000 on having like nice furniture, art. We have those up and down desks. So we have a really, really nice space right on the edge of Waikiki.
Cool, man.
Like, I think you would appreciate it just on the quality alone.
I'll push my team to go work out of there. We'll chat on it. But where can people find you? Where can people plug into you for, you know, your training courses, syndicate deals, if they're interested in things like that? Where's all your info?
It's everything's Indar Hawaii, IndarHawaii.com. You know, Indar Hawaii on Instagram, Indar Hawaii on Facebook. Everything's Indar Hawaii. We have Indar Hawaii. There's a community page where you can see booking our Airbnbs to staying at one of our, you know, our courses and everything. It's all on our nice, we have a really nice community page for people. Free deal analyzers if you want to analyze some deals and some content on there for you guys as well. But in our Hawaii, please come on there. And I'm an open book. There's enough for everybody to succeed in life. And I want everyone to.
100%. IndarHawaii.com.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
IndarHawaii.com. You guys know where to find him. Indar, bro, thank you so much, man. You know, this is great. Episode one with me and you. We'll definitely do some follow-ups, talk story, dive deeper into some of the stuff that you that we're talking about coming down the pipeline. We'd love to hear kind of how that ended up for you.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's great catching up with you and seeing you. I know you guys are doing great up there. And you have a really great team, actually, of agents as well.
Thanks, man. That's a long time, bro. We're all coming up together, man. Okay. So, well, thank you, listeners. Yes. Again, you know where to find Indar. You know where to find us. Thank you, as always. Coffee's for closers, and you're going to be able to get some coffee at Indar's collab space here shortly, too. So
there you guys go. Thank you.
Enjoyed this episode of Coffee for Closers? Subscribe to the show anywhere you find podcasts. And follow Collab Agents on social @CollabAgents.